Today's scripture reading is 1 Corinthians 13, verses 7 through 14, verse 5. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for these upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. This is the word of God.
We're in part 8 of our series, The Spirit of Love, and last week we began talking about this subject matter of spiritual gifts and all the ways, and then there are various different ways that churches tend to stumble on spiritual gifts, and we began wading into that territory. Today, basically, I'm not going to talk about the prophecy gift yet, because what we're doing today is really a continuation of last week. There's no way we can cover kind of wisdom pieces about gifts in one message, and probably not even two, but we'll at least try to do it in two, okay? And so I hope you can remember some of the things that was taught last week. I'll go revisit some of them because it's really important. And if you missed that message last week, I encourage you to go to our YouTube channel or to our podcast and catch that, okay? Let's get into it. Part one, spirit-filled edification. What does edification mean? It's an older word. It means build up, okay? So I thought I'd just throw that word in there. Spirit-filled building up. That's what gifts are about. Part two, I'm going to give you some examples, all right? It's helpful to just have some sense of, like, what this could look like. What it might be like in your life. Maybe one of these examples will shed and illuminate something in your life, and maybe you still won't necessarily be clear to you, but in 5 years or 7 years or 9 years, you're going to go, hey, I think that thing that Pastor Suzong talked about in one of those examples is happening to me, okay? And part three, from love poverty to supernatural ability. Most of us are poor in love. It's actually probably one of the worst things about you, but you don't think of it as a bad thing about you. It's one of the things that makes your life feel kind of drab and lacking and poor, because we're poor in the most important place. You can have love. I mean, you can have money. You can have success in your career, but if you don't have love, you are truly poor. But the gospel, through the power of Jesus and the outpouring of his Holy Spirit, gives us a chance to have far more supernatural ability, okay? Let's go to part one, spirit-filled edification. And let's go to chapter 14, verse 1. And I want to return to this. I already kind of said this point, but it's so important. I need to say it again, and I really want you to get this, okay? So part 14, verse 1, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. So it doesn't say pursue gifts. It says desire gifts. but you should pursue love. Okay? Again and again, I've seen this in the church. People want gifts, but then remain love poor. That's not the way of the Holy Spirit. That's not the Bible's way. That is a very, very poor and worldly way. So pursue love, but you should desire spiritual gifts. I'm going to say a little bit more about this, but most people do not desire spiritual gifts. We desire worldly gifts. And if mostly what you're thinking about in your life, for your life to turn out well, are worldly gifts, you want greater talents, you want greater abilities, things that will make you richer, things that will make you admired, and give you greater status and make you more popular in the circles of people that you want to be in, that's not a good way of living your life. You should desire a gift from the Holy Spirit, okay? Now it goes on. Especially that you may prophesy, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. I put that in highlights for you because that's the important part. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. That's a contrast. But the one who prophesies builds up the church. The church is not just the institution. We're not talking about just a building or an institutional religion. We're talking about people. Builds up the people of God. Verse 5. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. It's really interesting, isn't it? Told you, I'm not going to talk about that today. We will talk about that because it's actually a really important subject, which is dividing the church, but it's a rather involved discussion, so we'll have to wait for that, okay? But the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. That's interesting. Some gifts are greater. Why? And this is important. This is really, really important. I said this last week, but I really wanted to come back at it again, and I really want to emphasize its importance. Unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. Go back to the previous slide, okay? For the upbuilding and encouragement and consolation, the one who prophesies builds up the church. Let's go to verse 5. Why? Why is the prophecy gift a greater gift than the tongues gift? Because it builds up others. What are your gifts for? It's to build others up. All gifts that lead more toward the building up of others, that's from the Holy Spirit. That's of love. It's completely the opposite of the way we do things in the world, and sadly to say, the way a lot of Christians think about gifts. A lot of Christians think about gifts because they have this insecurity that they don't have God in their life, and thus they want to have some kind of like obvious supernatural gift, and now they know they're touched by God, and then other people say they're touched by God, and you're like, hey, you're of God. So it's strange because in the world, we're always looking for something that says, this is what gives me worth. My degree is what gives me worth. My GPA is what gives me worth. My job title is what gives me worth. Especially in Silicon Valley, that my bank account, my stock options, my worth, we even call it personal worth, we actually think the money gives you worth. Let me tell you something. When you get to heaven, your money is not going to give you any worth. Your money is going to be worthless. It's going to be worthless. Your worth is not built on anything that you do. Your worth is given to you by grace. Jesus died the death we deserve to die, and then he gave us all that is his. He gave us his status. He gave us his name. He gave us his sonship. And nothing could be greater in the world than those things. So there's nothing in this world where you have to earn your own worth. But then so many Christians come into the church and use this dirty thing, this bad thing that we have in the world, because we're a bunch of empty, naked souls that we have to clothe ourselves with our worth, and then we look for spiritual gifts to do that. That's a dirty, bad way to go. But if you go the way of God, filled with the Spirit, you'll always seek the building up of others. Okay? So if you're wondering, okay, let's say you have a gift, and we'll get to that in just a moment, that maybe other people don't recognize, or other people don't esteem or praise, it's okay. Your gift is still tremendously important. There's a lot of things that happen in your body that you don't see, you don't know about. It's not esteemed. You're not even worried about it. It doesn't get much praise. I mean, if you go like this and then this muscle bulges up, you're like, okay, you like to show it off, okay? And then the women go, ooh, cool. And then the other guys go, ooh, cool. And now it's got this, its giftedness is obvious. But there's things that happen in your body, the giftedness is very not obvious, but it's tremendously important. And you know what? It's very pleasing to God. And your worth is not from the praise of others, it's from God. Now, I want to say something about the tongues gift before I move on. It's interesting here. I knew a youth pastor when I was in high school, and I asked him, I went to this church, and they were one of those charismatic churches, and all these guys are like, blah, 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 in tongues. And I was going, wow, that was really freaky. And I don't know how to do that. And I wondered, have they been touched by God and I have not been touched by God? Or something like that happened to me when I was 16. And I asked my youth pastor about it. And this is what he said. He said, well, I can speak in tongues. This guy's Presbyterian. I was like, what? I didn't know Presbyterians could do that. All right? But that's what he said. And then he said, but don't worry about it. It's a pretty low gift. And you know what he's saying? He's just citing this verse. His point was, seek these other things to go bless God's people. That's the important part. Now, it's still a gift. And I want to tell you, this isn't exactly written in the Bible this way, but it says here that the gift of tongues builds that person up. Doesn't generally build other people up, but builds this person up who has this gift. And I've seen something of that. Here's what I think is going on. It's not the only thing going on. It's one of the things I think is going on. Among the people who have the gift of tongues, I have noticed that a lot of them, not all of them, a lot of them come from some really deeply broken background. They may have been abused. They may be fatherless. They may have been cut and betrayed badly by people and maybe by church. And they need something from God. And they barely know if God, they hear this message, Jesus loves you. You could be the most broken person there is. But in their mind, they're saying, I'm so bad and I'm so worthless. And that's how I feel. That's how everybody treats me. And one day, while they're praying, the supernatural language that they didn't even know they could do starts to pour out of them. And I think what's happening is Jesus is saying, I see you. I love you. And so they are built up directly by God Himself through the Holy Spirit. Don't you want that? When I was a kid, I wanted that. And over time, I've learned it's okay that I don't have it. In fact, I'm glad I have other gifts. Right? If you don't have that gift, it's okay. But I think this is partly what's going on when certain people get that gift. You should desire the gifts, especially the ones that build up. And the ones that are not as prominent, they build up. Especially if you use them that way, okay? Now let's go to the passage in chapter 12. And I want to just go over this one more time. And there's some things I want to say to you, some wisdom points about gifts. So chapter 12, verse 8. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge. I'm putting underlying there some of the ones that are odd. These are some of the spiritual gifts. According to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, And before we go to verse 10, do you notice again? I know I keep saying this and I keep repeating this, but the Bible repeats it. The importance is not the gift. The importance is the Spirit. God is in you. God is doing something in you. You didn't earn this, but God gave this to you. And now go use it in the Spirit to build others up pursuing love. Okay? Verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. Like miracles. That's like, yeah, I can work miracles. That's a gift. I can't do that. I have known some people who can do that. And not always consistently, they can do it, which is pretty wild, okay? To another, prophecy, to another, ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit, who proportions to each one individually as he wills. He individually chose you. The Holy Spirit individually chose you to receive whatever gift you have or gifts. And I'll say it again, you have one. If you believe in Jesus and have surrendered your life to Jesus, you at least have one. Maybe you don't know it, and maybe you're not using it, but you have it, and it's important. You should never look down upon it or underestimate it. It's the power of God Himself, okay? Now, let's go to the next slide. These are just, if you want to remember this, or these are the passages. I just read to you the first passage. These are the classic passage by which the gifts are laid out in the Bible. And let's go to the next slide. Here's a list. This is just a list compiled by the people who studied these passages. And I won't read them all over again to you, but administration, you know, discernment. That doesn't sound like a supernatural gift, right? But then you get to healing. Well, that sounds supernatural. And it's interesting. Maybe it's not always miraculous. Maybe it is. I think people who heal the soul, they may have a supernatural gift from the Holy Spirit, and they may have started with a natural gift from God the Creator. I think people who do surgery may have a gift of healing. And mostly, maybe it is a natural gift in our day and age. But then there are some who get a supernatural gift. But then there are some, like prophecy or, you know, miracles. Obviously, those are spiritual tongues. These are supernatural. And I just want to highlight one, that last one, which most people don't talk of, and Christian leaders have talked about this back and forth, and I've thought about this. And it's that last passage in Ephesians that really talks about the officers, the offices of the church. So back then, it's like the apostles. We don't have apostles anymore, but we do have elders. We have deacons and so forth. And we live in this time and age where people are like, I don't want to be more committed to the church. If someone wants me to become a deacon or an elder or maybe even a pastor, they want to run away. But have you ever thought about that as a gift from God? It is an authority. It is a calling. And it comes with supernatural power from the Holy Spirit. And anytime a church not only has the offices, but someone who is truly filled with the Spirit who can fill that office, a really, really Spirit-filled deacon or an elder or a pastor, they will build up. Do they not? Oh, they build up. And love and power and supernatural power from the Holy Spirit is unleashed in the church. That's a gift. So I wanted to say this to you. We're getting into this period right now where we want to raise up our deacons. Deacon candidates, maybe you might want to consider, maybe God is giving you a spiritual gift. As a young man, when I sensed the Lord was calling me to pastor it, I mostly just wanted to run away. It scared the heck out of me. Today, I know it's a gift. I don't mean to be mean about this, but a lot of you guys go off to work and you build a widget. And then that company will be gone tomorrow and your widget is like, you built this widget and then your company doesn't even use it. And they might lay you off next year. I'm sorry to say, that's sad. There is a
There's a kind of futility in the work that we do, in your some of your callings, in your secular jobs. But you know, one of the greatest things that I get, and this is part of the gift, when I get up to answer my calling, I always know it matters. And it matters forever. And since I really, really hate doing futile things, boy, was it a gift to me. Maybe you might want to be a deacon or an elder. There's tremendous gift in it. Okay? I want to say a couple more wisdom points. So, next slide. Here's a question I want to ask. Is this a complete list? So this is the list that's in the Bible. And so Christians are kind of a little bit of a debate and of two minds. Some people say, these are the only spiritual gifts. This is in the Bible. And since it's in the Bible, it can't be wrong. Or are there other gifts not explicitly listed in these Bible passages? And I'll tell you where I stand on that. I am of the latter. The Bible is not a wooden book. It doesn't just go, these are nothing more. And it's interesting, it doesn't even, if the Bible wanted to do that, shouldn't they have like one chapter where they say, these are all the gifts, and that's the list? Instead, they give you some gifts here, and some gifts there, and some gifts there. And I don't think it's intended to be an exhausted list. It's intended to be wisdom. How we are moved and supernaturally aided by the Holy Spirit to build other people up and love them in Christ for Christ. Okay? So that's my answer to that question. And then I want to return to this question that I had last week. Let's go here. Is it natural or spiritual? And I gave you an answer last week, and I want to expound on that answer a little bit more. God gives you a gift because as creator, he puts abilities and talents into you that other people don't have, okay? And if you think about it from the analogy of the body, the pancreas can do things that no pinky can do. The big toe can do things that, you know, that no elbow can do. Those are gifts. Those are talents. But it's also kind of naturally given by God as creator. But I said to you last week that as soon as you give your life and surrender your life to Jesus as Savior, the Holy Spirit will come and dwell you, and then he'll give you supernatural gifts from the Spirit. And I do believe that you can have a natural gift, and then when the Holy Spirit now comes over you, and now you are fully owned by Jesus, that gift will change. That gift will change, it'll be redeemed, it'll be owned, just as Jesus wants to own all of you, because you are owned by Jesus, do you not know that? He paid for you with his precious blood. And the way he will now redeem all of you is by the Holy Spirit. So, and here's a point that I don't think most people have thought about. We are born into the flesh. Paul has this language called flesh, and then he's always calling us to be in the Spirit. Those who are in Christ. So this is very interesting. You give your life to Jesus Christ and you're born again. That's the language of Jesus. And now the Holy Spirit indwells you. But you have a choice. Your mind and your heart and your will has to decide, I want to go toward Jesus. I want the things of God. Thus, you can resist the Holy Spirit. You can, as the Bible calls it, grieve the Holy Spirit. So even though the Holy Spirit dwells in you and now you are forgiven and loved and graced by Jesus, yes, you could act like an idiot. You can be worldly. You could be greedy. You could be selfish. You could be cynical and unforgiving. Even though there's all the things that the Bible says, do not be these ways. In fact, do be all these other ways. Pursue love. Use your gifts to build up. But, you know, we could be so filled with the flesh, and the flesh is usually, here are my gifts. This is how I may have worth in the world, and this is what I'll be happy about. We live in a time when the things of the church, the supernatural things of God, they're not even believed. In fact, they're disdained. And so, the Christians, we live in this kind of poisonous culture, and then we come to the church, and you know what the Christians are like? We like to, you know, we like to honor the natural gifts. That guy's smart. Oh, he's fast. Oh, she's beautiful. Oh, look at all those great achievements. When Steve Jobs passed away, he's like this little demigod who lives in our, you know, in this area. The outpouring of admiration and honor from the whole world came out on him, even though, you know, he's a horrible father, and he even admits it in his biography, right? So I was like, if you're a bad father, aren't you basically kind of a bad person? But the world thought he was so great because they love his natural, fleshly gifts. But if you are gifted by the Holy Spirit, that's an eternal gift. Now, let me say this, and this is the point I'll make before we go to part two. In the flesh, this is why Paul uses this language. This is the way I think. I hope this is helpful to you. If you are apart from the Holy Spirit indwelling you, you're just a piece of rotting meat. And your gifts, they will rot too. That's why people who use their gifts to admire themselves, advance themselves, it's sometimes if they have no righteousness and humility and mercy from the Holy Spirit, it's a matter of time before they start to abuse others, abuse their gifts, and blow themselves up. But if you have a gift that's given to you by God that's natural, you absolutely want that to become spiritual. And you may have a gift that you don't even know about, that you're not even good at this thing, and then the Holy Spirit gives this new gift to you, and it's spiritual. The gift that you are given by the Spirit to build other people up, that's something that you might have forever. The natural gift of the flesh, your rotting meat, will die. But the gift of the Spirit that you use to love is forever. That's precious. It's better than precious. It's of eternal riches. Are you hearing me? Okay, that was a mouthful. Let's go to part two. Examples. I want to see if I can quickly give you four examples because I think they'll be helpful to you, okay? So, these are all just real people. And they're not ancient people. They're not some kind of special superhero out of the Bible. They're just people like you and me, okay? So, many of you know our older daughter. Her name is Laura. And Laura was named after a woman who is a sister in the Lord whom you should all meet, okay? And if she was ever your friend, you would be so blessed. But as of yet, she's not your friend, but she is me and Grace's friend. And you know what her gift is? Laura is a year older than Grace. She went to Wellesley College, which is where Grace went. So here they are in this extremely godless school. And Laura Sanu is a holy woman of God at the age of 22. Laura Sanu said that when she was like a freshman or a sophomore in college, she read 1 John. And 1 John is all about love. And that book so captured her, she decided that's how she was going to treat everybody, especially her friends. And if you ever hang out with Laura Sanu, whenever you talk to her, she will listen to you with this intensity. And she will listen to you in the Holy Spirit. And she will say things to you that are beautiful. Things that you're so glad that somebody said to you. Right? And it's never about her. She's never trying to do anything to you. She's always trying to build you. What are her gifts? I would say her gifts are listening. See, that wasn't on the list. Listening. But I think that's one of her gifts. If anyone ever really listened to you well, it feels awesome. She has a gift of listening. She has a gift of exhortation. Exhortation is an old word which means to speak a word which is like, it's encouragement, but it's better than encouragement. It's to say, I believe this is what you should do this. You should be like this. And I've heard her say these kinds of things to me and to Grace, and it's like kind of wild. She might have a gift of prophecy, okay? I think she's starting to grow into that. But back then, anyway, I don't think she would have ever said that. And at least for us, it's listening, exhortation, and encouragement. Every Christian should encourage, but she has a gift. When she encourages you, you felt like God encouraged you. Okay? So that's who we named our daughter after. It's a pretty good person to name your daughter after, right? I'll give you a second example. My mother, my grandmother on my mother's side, she passed away a number of years ago. And she was a sickly woman. She's about yay tall. She's actually shorter than Grace. I think she's shorter than Grace, which is pretty short. And she had type 1 diabetes, and she was in and out of the hospital for all of the time I could remember her. I have these pictures of her when she was young, and she's skinny. I've never seen her like that before. I've only seen her when she's kind of plump and often sickly. But what is her gift? She had a gift of prayer. Again, aren't all Christians supposed to pray? You pray, I pray. Well, if you're a believer, you pray. But somehow when she prayed, wow, there was power. Somehow when she prayed, there was a presence. Somehow she could use these words, and they were like these penetrating, powerful things. Now, I don't even entirely understand it because I couldn't understand her words because she spoke in Korean, and I didn't understand Korean. So, but this is how powerful it was. She could pray in Korean. I can't even understand it, and I could feel its power as a kid. When I was a kid, we'd have these church gatherings, and my grandfather was an elder in the church. My grandfather and grandma, they were players. I mean, they were leaders. They were edifiers. They built up the church. They're spirit-filled people, right? And my grandmother had like more like charisma and like charm in her little pinky than my grandfather in his whole body, okay? Even though he was the elder, right? He was just kind of like this really quiet, boring guy, right? But super persevering and steadfast and faithful. And we would get together with all these other leaders, pastors and elders. The room's filled with pastors and elders, and they would have this prayer time, and then one of the pastors or one of the elders would lean forward and ask my grandmother to pray for that. And I always went, okay. Actually, when I was a kid, sometimes I was like, oh, not grandma, it's going to be long. Right? So you kind of wonder where like some of this longevity, you know, length in like talking about Jesus comes from. It's like you can blame my grandmother, okay, I'll blame her. But that's the way she used to pray. And I'd go, oh, it's going to be long. And somewhere in the middle of the prayer, there'd just be power. It's hard to describe. I can't quite describe it. And I'm a kid who can't even understand the Korean. Now, okay, I'm Korean-American. We're a very patriarchal culture. And Korean Presbyterians, especially conservative Korean Presbyterians, they always pick the pastor or the elder. I know, because I'm a pastor and elder from the student, and I'm like, go in the room and like look at the prayer. They're like, oh, pastor, could you pray for us? Because, you know, you have, like, you're the pastor. Jesus has blessed you. You know, you could pray. I'm like, oh, okay, all right, I'll do it, right? I never knew that it was unusual that a bunch of the leaders of the pastors and elders would turn to this woman, this very sickly, small woman, and ask her to pray. And as I look back in hindsight, it's really unusual. It's really unusual. But you know why they did that? Because it was obvious as day. She had a gift. And now let me give you another piece of wisdom about gift. Some of you are going, I don't know what my gift is. How do I know what my gift is? Okay, here's how you find out your gift. You pursue love. You build others up with something that you're trying to do, and maybe you don't even know it's a gift. You're just trying to bless them with whatever you know how to do. Maybe you think you know how to do this and other people aren't doing it, so you do it. And then they begin to ask you, would you do that again? Would you do that again? That was so great. I was so blessed. I was so encouraged. they're being built up. That's a really good clue. You may have a gift. And apparently all the other pastors and elders could see it in my grandmother. So, when I get to heaven, I hope I can learn Korean, or I hope I get a supernatural gift of tongues to learn Korean so I can listen to what my grandmother said. Okay? And I hope that some of you might get this gift of prayer. And I'll come to you. Okay? Third person. There's a woman that Grace and I know, who's a friend of ours. Her name is Kim Jung. Kim, I'm going to embarrass you here now. If you ever get to listen to the sermon. So Kim also came out of Wellesley College. I think she's the same year as Laura Sanu. And Kim is a very different personality than Laura. Kim is, if you met her, she's smart. She's a go-getter. She's organized. I think she came out of Wellesley College and, you know, got a job as a consultant as one of these top firms, okay? I mean, exactly the kind of person with these kinds of gifts. She had, I think, a natural gift of administration. We need to do this thing, and it's a problem. You know what? She could, on the spot, figure out how to organize it and make it work on the spot. It was wild. I'd never seen anybody could do this, right? So we were a young church. She's 22. I'm like probably 24. And we're talking about building our church, and we have this need. And so we brainstormed how to start some kind of new ministry, and Kim would pull out her notebook, and then she just started putting roles down. And then she just started going, hey, you know anyone who could do this? Do you know anyone who could do this? And it was never about her. And I watched her do this, and I was kind of floored. I've never seen anybody who could take ministry. She didn't think of this ministry, but then, like, administrate it, and boom, make it start, come to life. I think she has a natural gift, which at that age of 22 was becoming a spirit-filled gift. So, if we get to heaven and you watch Kim Jung building a skyscraper for Jesus, yeah, and if you feel, hey, we need to build a skyscraper for Jesus, we need to build this castle, this beautiful thing, they'll go, hey, Susan, where's Kim Jung? Yeah, that's the right person. And maybe some of you will be that way. And we're so secular, we don't know how to see that as a spiritual gift. Because she could see the glories of God. Because you're not just building some structure, like a commander and like who gets to be the boss and all this other kind of stuff. That's how the secular world thinks. It's always thinking about power and pragmatics. She's thinking about how to drive love and beauty and transformation. So that's how you're filled by the Spirit. All right, one more example, and I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to give you myself as an example. Why? Because I know there's this dynamics of me, and you know, this isn't any kind of boasting. In fact, I'm going to tell you something that's kind of lame about me, right? I have a gift of discerning spirits or spiritual discernment. I did not have that spiritual gift when I was a young man. I did not get that spiritual gift when I was born again. I was born again when I was 11. I certainly didn't have it in my early 20s, and I didn't even get that spiritual gift after I was ordained as a pastor. It grew. And I'll tell you a little something about how this came about. So, as a very young pastor, so maybe this might shock some of you, but I was a little clueless about certain people. I was a bookish nerd, and I just told them bookish, nerdish things as a pastor. And while the church was like scheming to like do something kind of like two-faced, and I had no clue. So I didn't have discernment about that because I didn't have a certain kind of people level IQ, EQ. That's what we call it today, right? So I was very Silicon Valley like that. But the Lord had given me a certain natural gift. So I think this is the combination. The natural gifts I have are, one, I have very high verbal skills. Two, actually, Young mentioned this to me. I never thought of this as a gift, but he mentioned it. He goes, you have really incredible intellectual curiosity, and you love to learn because of that. And so I take my verbal skills, because I can read whatever and understand it, and then I can take my intellectual curiosity. So those are my natural gifts. But as a young pastor, I basically had this hole, and I saw people sinning against each other and doing bad things, and I had compassion for them. And I felt very inadequate to reach them and shepherd them. And because I can't discern what their problems are. I don't have spiritual discernment of their two-facedness, of their sinfulness, of their, you know, kind of like their legalistic self-righteousness. I just didn't have clues about those things. And this is how long we've been friends. I was talking to Christy about this one day, because Christy's really, she's good on this EQ side, you know, that's why she's a great therapist, all that kind of stuff, and she knows I wasn't, because we were talking about this, and I was talking to her, I was discovering sociology, which helped you understand the patterns of people, and social psychology, and the patterns of people. And you know what she said to me? She said, "Whoa, Susan, maybe this could be the way that God equips you and helps you become a better pastor and love people better." I never thought of it that way. I just thought, I'm just a nerdy dude and I'm looking for answers. I want to love people and I'm looking for answers. And so I have this heart to pursue love. I have a heart that I want them to receive the Holy Spirit, but I have a weakness. And then over time, I grew in my knowledge of social psychology and sociology. And then I also, using my verbal skills, I grew in my knowledge of the Bible. And then these things started to come together in my mind. And then when I started to meet people, something amazing happened. I could read them. Someone would be talking to me and I'm going, "Yeah, you're lying to yourself. Let me help you with that." And instead of me just being a clueless guy who lets you just wreck your life, I began to be able to discern what spirit they were in and help them go to the Holy Spirit. It took time. But I'm pretty sure I have this gift. Because most of the time when I read, I can just like look at you now and I could read you. I don't want to scare you, but I can. Right? And if I have a conversation with you, I'm always listening through the Spirit and trying to discern your spirit. And it's a gift I did not have when I was young. But boy, it's an amazing gift. And not all pastors have that gift. It sounds weird that you can be a pastor and not have that gift of spiritual discernment. But it's actually common that all pastors have to grow in spiritual discernment, but not all pastors have that gift. And I'm thankful I do, so I could love you. So I'm putting these examples before you so that maybe you can begin to ask God, what is my gift? Okay? And we could talk more about that, and we could maybe even have classes about that and so forth. Now, I got to wrap up. Let's get to part 3. From love poverty to supernatural ability. And let me take you to this. Go back to chapter 13, verse 8. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. You know why I wanted you to see this? Don't fixate on the gift. The gifts pass away. I was thinking, do they pass away? Am I going to have this gift in heaven? Maybe, maybe not. But the love will not pass away. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. We are always thinking about gifts and trying to prove our self-worth, and that's childish. That's what this passage is saying. That's what this passage is really, really saying. And it afflicts us, this foolishness, this childishness, in our secular minds. And yes, even in our spirit-filled minds, we can grieve the Spirit because we stay in our childishness instead of pursuing love. So, when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. Revive. You know what love poverty is? You're poor in love. You don't know how to love. You don't want to love. You're not even good at receiving love. And in your life, you're lonely and love poor. You don't have many friends. You don't know how to make friends. That's so common in Silicon Valley because we're like this. We're love poor. But today I'm calling you to, let's put this childishness away. God wants you to be a man. Yes, you, even you ladies, not a man, literally a male, but really full grown and fully mature. I gave up childish ways, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Seek the face of others and give them the fullness of yourself and let the fullness of the Holy Spirit come out of you and pursue love. Now, here's the way I want to close, okay? Verse 7, let's go back to verse 7. If you're not love poor, this is what your love is going to look like. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And love never ends. Here's the way I want to close this message. Is there somebody in your life that you love, but love is starting to end? You don't want to bear this about them. You are beginning to believe that they won't ever change and that you can't love them. You will not be able to endure this anymore, and you don't have hope for them. Is that how you feel? Well, that's love poor. Of course that's how you feel with somebody and somebodies. To one sense, we're all this way. But this is childishness. This is the way rotting meat operates inside of love. God's kind of love is something else. If you will love even one person, a really miserable, terrible, hard person to love, and try to give them this, now you're with God. And here's why I want to close this message. Did not Jesus love you? Did he not bear all your bad things? We sang it. 1,000 times I've failed, and still your mercies remain. Did not Jesus believe in you when you don't even believe in yourself? Does he not have hope for you? He has much bigger hope for than you. I only have these small little hopes. Jesus keeps going, do you know why Jesus says no to many of your prayer requests? Because he hopes for you. The things you want and hope for are too small for him. He goes, I'm going to say no, because that'll get in the way of this. That's how he loves you. And he endures all things. And the proof of it is the cross. So, how can you stop being love poor and childish and living inside of this junky, fleshly way, rotten meat way? What you do is you put your face to the face of Jesus and say, fill me. And give me your power. Give me your love, not mine. Help me to stop worrying about mine. You look barely at what your inability, and you look at his ability. And he will now gift you with the Holy Spirit, and you want to love, you will seek to love, you may even hope you could love in ways that don't end. And now you're starting to become the stuff of heaven. Brothers and sisters, can you believe this? It's the gospel. Let's pray.